You're listening to Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers with your hosts Greg Barrett and Kane Holloway.
You watched The Bachelorette?
I just caught up about an hour ago. Okay. I have some cliff notes, but I can't name the contestants, but I have some reactions for sure. If you guys want to talk about
it. Yeah. Kane watches it. Pat won't do it. Kane watched it for a long time. He used to watch it with his wife, and I never watched it till last year. Now I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
I hate watching it.
That's why you watch it. It is the best shit show in the world. It is so good. It's like the most mentally unstable people in one room. What else can go wrong?
Totally. And there's nothing worse than a bachelor doing a bit, trying to be funny.
Oh my God.
It just
God.
Makes my ass ate my sheets. Like, I just couldn't handle it.
Love it.
Like, what did you think of everyone's intros and all that shit?
Can we just first talk about all of their job titles? What was that one guy that was like a skin sell skin, right? That
he
was
sell skin. Yeah. For reconstructive surgery, sell skin.
That is a job?
That's a job. Isn't that wild? And then there was the one guy that was in charge. He sold zippers, or he was a zipper salesman? But just don't tell people you have a job if that's what you do.
Well, then just do the whole, you know, when people say they're like in medical sales, you can say medical sales and that can apply for so many things. But these were really specialty job titles. I was just kind of stunned. Like, where did they find these people?
I didn't see the skin salesman guy. I was too busy just sort of like enamored with the fact. I feel like when you wear a costume, don't you immediately, once like the gag is done, once you're like, hey, I'm a cat.
And just then take it off.
You're like in the party now, and you're like, you take off the cat suit and the hat and the gloves. At least take the gloves off. Because like by the end, when he was getting his rose, he had his sleeves up. Like, you knew that dude was hot.
Did you see the makeout scene, though? That was just so awkward. He's in his cat outfit. She's got her cat ears in. They're like fully tongue in, tongue out. So odd.
They were turned on. Like, she was really turned on by it. It was the hottest kiss out of all of them.
I know. Yeah, it was just pussy on pussy action. I've never seen anything like that before. And that was just first time in Bachelor history. I was just like, what is happening? I don't know if I should be observing this. And the other guy that asked her, I think during their first talk or whatever inside the room, he's like, you seem like a really good mother. You seem like you would make a really good mother.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Would you ever say that?
If I was from the 1800s, I'm sure that.
Yeah.
Your uterus looks really healthy. I just want to let you know.
What about the dude that was just in a box? And then that was it. That was the whole bit. He was in a box. And that production takes forever. So he had to have been in that box for like 4 hours.
Can you just imagine him selling the producers on that shtick? Okay, guys, get this. I'm going to enter in a box and I will stay in the box for the rest of the time. And all the producers are like, yes.
And when you get out of the box, that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be such a good reveal.
Like, if the guy in the box had been somebody from another season, like a surprise guest,
right?
He was like a Wolf of Wall Street guy.
Yeah, nothing special about him. It's like, go get back in the box. Stay in the box. And the guy that faked a British accent, I couldn't get over that.
Oh my God. If you can't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Just don't do
it. Not only that, but then he obsessed about it when he talked to her. He was like, so you didn't think it was good? He was like, I am pretty good at it.
It's just like, I don't know. My vagina dried up when he did that. I was like,
mine too.
I'm sorry.
I can't even tell you what my vagina did.
Not safe for work.
At first I was like, it's either like, or like a British dude who's been in America for a long time, so it's starting to fade away kind of vibe, or he was drunk at a party one time and he started doing it. And then one of his buddies was like, yo, that's a great British accent. And he was just like, cool. No more work needs to be done on this one.
This is it. I'm good on this one. This is a panty dropper right here. what a waste of 2 hours of my life. But it was good. It was good. It was entertaining. Every season, the most dramatic season yet.
Yes. Yep. And you know what? I miss Chris Harrison. Not at all.
Oh, but did you like that she was so surprised when Tayshia and whatever her the other girl's names were revealed as the hosts? Like, she knew.
We she all knew. To. How did she not know?
Yeah, that's really dumb.
What a moment. What a moment to craft for her.
Oh, yeah. When they're like sneaking up behind her, like she didn't know. Like they had to do that a couple times where they're like, okay, that one was okay, but you didn't look as surprised. Tayshia and what's your name? You guys go back.
Yeah.
Try it again.
Take 106. Can you be more surprised? I also love that Tayshia was like, really pay attention to the guys you're not attracted to. Because the guy I'm marrying, I was not attracted to him at all the first night. Like, yeah. He's not in my top three at all. Great. Good advice.
Maybe that's why she picked the catsuit guy.
Yeah. She's like, I'm really not attracted to this, but Tayshia told me to be. So I'm going to go for it.
Or the guy that pulls out the sex doll with the longest setup in the history of jokes.
It was the worst payoff. I thought he was going to bring a puppy, a pet of something, a kid.
I thought he had a kid. And then that's going to be a cool way to go, I'm a single dad or something like that.
Yeah.
He pulls that doll out and I'm like, I hate everything about you.
He named it. And the thing was, is like, you knew it had a name because her dildo in the last season when she was one of the contestants, her dildo had a name. So he's like, okay, I'm going to do her joke verbatim.
Oh my gosh.
Beat for beat, but you can't keep a sex doll in your back pocket.
No. Nope. So
it's like the moment when you have to walk back to the thing for the punchline, it's like, that better be the funniest thing you've ever thought of in your life. And if it doesn't make you laugh, don't do it. Just don't do that.
He's going down in history as the guy that brought the sex doll.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The shitty sex doll, like the old-fashioned sex doll. Nobody uses that anymore. There's those real dolls.
Yeah. Oh, a robot? If a fucking robot got out and just like, walked towards her?
Yeah, we fuck. Cool, man. That's awesome. Glad you weren't lonely during the pandemic.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was so fucking funny. UA, I listened to Dateable, your podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I listened to today when you had a guy on about, I forgot his name, but you had your guest on about pegging, and I didn't know what it would be like, you know, a dating podcast, like maybe it's tips and tricks. So to tune in for that, to hear a guy talk about pegging and looking for dominatrixes to peg him, I was shocked and surprised, but also it was a nice surprise. It was funny. I really loved it. It was a really great episode.
Kane, I thought you were going to start that sentence with, I didn't know what pegging was.
No, I know what pegging is. Believe you me.
Greg, look at that face.
I knew what it was.
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
Oh, yeah. It's unclean. Yes.
We've had a few listeners email us and DM us before they listen to the episode. Just want to clarify, what is pegging? What does pegging mean? Mm-hmm. So for anybody who doesn't know, this is not something you want to Google on your work computer, but it is informative to know. And how funny is that guy? Rockman is his name. That's a guest we had on. His whole story is about how he found himself liking pegging with one of his girlfriends for his birthday. And it didn't go as planned for his birthday, but later he found there were other ways to pay for professionals to be your pegging companion.
Now, Greg, your birthday's coming up, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. In July.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So I don't know, man. Maybe check out the episode and see.
Yeah.
Something you and Amira might want to link up on.
I mean, it's either that or a sex doll. You choose.
You do your show with Julie Krafcik, is that correct? Julie Krafcik.
Yeah, she'll be on the show too, later.
She's coming on as a guest too. You guys have a great dynamic. I really love your guys' dynamic on the show. It was really funny. So, and that's like another reason we wanted to have you on the show is like, you guys are really good and we figured you guys would also be like good separate, and we want to like promote your show as well because it's such a really fun, interesting, new Dateable. There's a lot of dating podcasts out there, but yours feels like two friends are really linked up and talking about sex and dating. And I like it. It's a great show.
Thanks so much. You really took a risk with us because we've never really been on podcasts without each other. So, you know, I could have totally been the biggest bore in the world. So you took a risk with
that's
us.
True.
Separating Absolutely. The two.
We have a question in from Marcy, and she wants to know, am I being a fucker again or is he coming in hot? Hello, Greg and Kane. Love the podcast. I look forward to hearing your banter every week. You keep me laughing while teaching me about myself. Pat, your laugh is contagious. After a relationship that spanned half my lifetime, I'm separated from my ex for a year and a half. Neither of us was faultless, but I was definitely a fucker. Since then, I've been working on myself all the while, making up for lost time. In Greg's words, I've been unclean. Dodging commitment, but being upfront about it. Dating without intent is tiring. So 3 months ago, I went on a detox and gave up all men to figure my shit out before getting back out there. Last weekend, I met a guy and right off the bat, he was into me, glued to my side and vowing to treat me right. I was inebriated, but we had a good conversation, what I remember. And we shared some of our past experiences, him being hurt in love repeatedly and me recovering after a non-functioning relationship. I saw him last night and he was just as sweet, but it's almost too much for me. He says he loves hard and is so committed that it's the other person that messes it up. He commented on my look so many times both nights, so I can't decide if he likes what he knows about me or if he's blinded by my looks or the idea of love. Am I a fucker for saying it, but he's not who I pictured falling for and I'm not ready to commit? Hell, I have dreams of a hot girl summer. Surprise, I'm also a GGE fan. Most of my life, I've answered to someone or had to factor in another opinion, so I'm just now learning to make and trust my own decisions. I think the answer is to nip in the bud before someone gets hurt, but how? Am I a fucker for turning away the chance at love for selfish reasons? I couldn't sleep and for a split second thought of writing to my counselor, but nah, I need the sage yet blunt wisdom of the DTBFF guys. Thank you. That's from Marcy.
Marcy. Wow. I really felt her soul in that. Mm-hmm. I really did. I feel like this is the prime example of love bombing. When someone just showers you with affection and attention without really a reason why. And we see this with people who do this with every relationship they get into. And they play the victim of, hey, I showered you with all this love. You're the one fucking up this relationship. And I think she's...
Yeah, right. He's already targeting that.
Yeah.
He's already created the situation. Explain to her how it's going to go.
Exactly. And she's interchangeable. She's one of those faceless women that he's like, okay, here's another one. I'm going to love bomb her. I'm going to use the same formula. And if this relationship ends, it's her fault, no matter what she does. So of course, in the beginning, it feels amazing. He's going to say all the right things, do all the right things. And it's not about her though. He's not doing these things. I would say, Marcy, really look at what he's doing. Is that tailored to you? Or is it just a very general affection, general attention that makes you feel good? And ultimately, I think we just all have to connect with our intuition. That entire message she just wrote was sounding like she was trying to get out, right? The whole time she's like, I'm stuck. Get me out of this box. But the box feels good. It's like, it smells nice. It's cushy. There's food in here, you know, but I feel trapped. Mm-hmm. And I feel that from Marcy. It's like this feeling of, I can't breathe for some reason. I can't breathe. And I feel like I need to get out. But everything's pointing to, oh, things are going well. But listen to your intuition. I think your intuition is always right.
Yeah, it's really easy to compliment somebody's looks. And that doesn't say very much about you. It lacks a certain amount of depth. And I think men in particular, especially at the beginning, can't tell the difference between affection and just being so fucking horny, you know, and just wanting to, and not knowing who's driving, really, you know. And so they feel like they're into it, but a lot of times it ends quickly too, as soon as they come.
Yes, we've said that many times. Yeah, that's as soon as you get like your faculties again, and you're like, oh, but do I like this person? Like, this person's hot and this person turns me on. Do I want to hang out? Do I want to hang out with them? Do I want to be with them? And a lot of the times when they're writing us this email, it's usually a big no. So, yeah, I think that's good. Plus, also getting out of a long relationship, like she was saying, it's like you're starting to trust yourself. at this point, I feel like she'd rather date herself. Mm-hmm. Like I would in her situation. Like I'd rather date myself, especially if like this love bomber comes in and this is, feels like would be my next relationship that's going to end. Is this one that's going to start and then fizzle? Nah, fuck that. I'd get out of that. Oh, and also she wants to know how, like what's a way that she could tell him?
I don't even think you need to tell him. I think you just got to say, like, I think it's just being honest with yourself and saying, I need to get out of this relationship and just end the relationship. It doesn't feel like it's going down the right path at all. And I think get out before he brings on the love bombing part two, you know, that second
phase. Yeah, she doesn't owe him an explanation at this point.
No.
She can just simply say, hey, I'm not feeling it, you know. Or she can just ghost him.
I was going to say, this is when we implement ghosting right here. Not all ghosting is bad ghosting. And this feels like good ghosting, like Casper.
This is a friendly ghost. Hey, yes. You want to hang out Thursday? Well, smiley face. That's friendly ghosting.
Yeah, never get back to him. Ever.
Just no answer, but just like a constant smiley face.
I love that. I think that is a great way to ghost. Just keep sending the smiley face. Smiley face. Why aren't you talking to me? Smiley face.
You know, and the other person's like, I kind of feel rejected and kind of feel happy at the same time. So these mixed feelings.
He's not being a dick.
Yeah.
He's sending smiley faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. It's positive negativity.
Hey everyone, are you sick of taking bullshit from fuckers and want direct help from Greg and myself? We hold a bi-monthly workshop on Zoom for people who not only want to stop taking bullshit from fuckers, but want to recognize fuckers before they even smell the bullshit. We have helped many people from our workshops. Previous attendees have said, thank you for the tune-up, DTBFF crew. I will definitely utilize this again and again. Go to don'ttakebullshitfromfuckers.bigcartel.com to secure your seat and stop taking bullshit from fuckers. You can also find this link in the show's description.
This is the theme song for What Does This Mean Song. The theme song for What Does This Mean Song. We'll read a self-help quote, and they're definitely not memes. Memes are something completely different than quotes. Quotes are supposed to help you through all the bullshit in your life. And memes are like that poster of that cat hanging from a tree. And it says, hang in there, baby, or Mondays, am I right? Mondays, am I right? So if you can think of a different title, then we'll probably change it.
And there you go.
Epic. It's so epic.
You. Thank you very much. It feels goofy every time.
We listen to that once a week before we do this segment.
It's longer every... Doesn't it feel longer every time?
Yeah, it does.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, right? I've heard that's a good thing. Yes,
sometimes. We have a bunch today sent in from all over the place. We got listeners. Greg, you got some. Pat, yep. I think, has some, and UA, you brought some. So we got we're loaded up. Would you like to hear some from us first, or do you want to jump in with yours? Okay. Greg, what do you have?
This is from L, and it says, all suffering is either remembered or anticipated.
I don't know. I watching 2 hours of Bachelorette, the whole time I was like, I'm suffering right now.
And you were very much in the moment.
I was very much presently suffering.
Yeah, that's true.
We got two from Redhead Uncensored. As we gain confidence in ourselves, red flags are no longer red flags. They are deal breakers.
I don't love that one. No. I don't. Yeah, it doesn't motivate me. Because that, to me, shows... So a red flag would be someone who may not have many close friends. It's a red flag. Is it a deal breaker? I don't know. Might be nice to monopolize their time. But I, you know, as I gain more confidence, I'm like, great. I don't need a partner who has friends. They got me.
He doesn't have one friend.
He got me. All good.
That's hilarious. Yeah, when you're younger, you're like, he doesn't have any friends. What a psycho. And then you're in your mid-30s. He doesn't have any friends. What a luxury.
What a lovely man.
What a beautiful person. She also sent this one. Fuck it. You tried. Move on.
Oh, man, I just go back to pegging. Fuck it, you tried it. Move on.
Ow. Ow. Slow, slow. That's what pegging is. Slow down. Slow down.
Kane, is that what you and your new girlfriend did over the weekend?
Yep, yep.
Is that a reenactment? Okay.
Yes. Hey, slow.
Those early dating days, you'll try anything.
Very unclean. All
slow
over.
Slow it down.
Slow it down. Hey, that's what I got.
That's enough. That's good. That's good. Okay.
Kane, your pants aren't even off. I know. I've enough. I can't do this. UA, what do you have?
I saw this on a dating profile years ago. This guy's profile photo. He's wearing a shirt that says, assholes have feelings too. Right?
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Sure. That's why they're assholes. Their feelings are constantly being hurt. That's how I feel about assholes. Yeah.
So that one's nice. I saw the other day.
It should make you feel bad or better about your dad, Kane.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, my dad's not a very nice person. So, but he does have feelings. He's a very sensitive man. He's huge. And when he'd cry, it would look like when Jabba the Hutt would laugh. Is that too mean? Might be too mean. If you don't know my dad, that's too mean.
Does your dad listen to this podcast?
I have no idea.
There's no way that he could.
Because I don't think he would. If he periodically, I'll hear that he's tried to get a hold of me. We don't talk anymore. But periodically, someone will say, I talked to your dad. He tried to call you or whatever. And I'm like, he wouldn't call me if he's listened to any episode of this show. He wouldn't. He wouldn't try.
Wow.
Also, I love that he tried to call you.
I know. He has tried.
He didn't have the numbers. Dialing is difficult. He tried. He did the best he could. He fell over.
Now, is that a red flag? This guy doesn't have a dad. He doesn't have friends or a dad.
Oh, perfect. More for me. I have one more. I have a few others, but I think this one is a good one. I sent this the other day. Some people are like clouds. When they're gone, it's a beautiful day.
Oh, I like that.
I love that. Wow. That's a good one. I feel like we should end on that one, but we got more.
I know, that was a really good one.
Damn.
Stop reaching out first and see how many dead flowers you've been watering.
What? Stop reaching out first and see how many dead flowers you've been watering. What psychopath wrote that?
It's from Pat's journal.
Do not reach out first. Tend to dead flowers now.
The what was my favorite part. What? Oh my God, that's so funny. We got one in from Daria. She says, you don't have to feel sorry for loving someone, no matter how it turned out. Aw.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's nice to love people. It's nice to feel like you love somebody. But it's nice when it's reciprocated. It isn't always reciprocated.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's just one of those
things. Alive.
Right. If that makes you feel better, then go for it. Recite it. Say it out loud.
We have an actual dating question specifically for UA. This one comes from Taylor Sinclair, and she wants to know, is it weird when girls make the first move?
Yeah, I love this question because there's just so much behind it. because it comes with so many gender roles that have been internalized for years. So by mm-hmm. asking that question, what she's asking is, do women have permission to make the first move? Is it acceptable by society to do that? I think we live now in 2021 after COVID. I feel like we reset everything, including gender roles. We were already progressing that way, but now we're like hard reset. And I feel like you just got to do you. Mm-hmm. It's not about women making the first move, men making the first move. You are in control of your life. So if you find someone interesting, you want to get to know them, it is up to you to do that, how you move that forward. Back in the day, you, as a woman, you drop a handkerchief, and that's how you show that you're interested in someone, hoping the man would pick up your handkerchief and then eventually, you know, ask mm-hmm. you out or whatever. Who does that? First of all, who has a handkerchief? And two, men do not pick up on those signals anymore. Like, women cannot be passive. We got to be like, I like you and I want to hang out with you. Oh, okay.
That's so sad. That's such a sad statement about men, what men have evolved into. Like, I feel like what you're saying is absolutely true. And so that should be true for men, too. Mm-hmm. You know, men should try and make something happen if they want something to happen. So they should make a move or they should do something. But that men sit around like wallflowers waiting for people to ask them out makes me sad.
It's so sad. And we talk about this when you have Julie on your podcast. She'll talk about what we call relationship chicken. Why is it in dating and in courtship? We are constantly trying to show the least amount of interest when we're trying to date someone. I don't want to be the first one to text back. I don't want to be the first one to reach out. I don't want to be the first one to say, I love you. I don't want to be the first one to DTR. Why? Isn't our goal is trying to find a partner who's going to step up with you? So,
but I do think there is a kind of animals do it. They circle each other. I think sometimes we're just circling each other. We're just poking a little bit and trying to figure out, is this worth, you know what I mean? Like, don't give too much too soon, too quickly, you know, hold back a little bit, you know, don't come at somebody with your need, because when you're super needy, people get turned off really quickly, you know? So you do have to be careful with what you dole out at the beginning.
It's just the animal circling reminds me of your whole talk about the woman who's sleeping with her snake and the snake is sizing her up. Like, maybe they're not circling each other. They're just trying to see if they can eat each other. Maybe we're reading animals all wrong.
Yeah,
it could be.
Wow.
But I think there is something to be said about that. It's the circling process. It's still like it's a step forward and a step forward. But in human courtship, a lot of times we're trying to step backwards, hoping the other person would come forward and meet you. And it doesn't work that way. So yes, we should still circle, but that's still movement. That's still intention that's put into that.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
No one wants to feel turned down, but that's the fear completely. So what's going through your mind is going through his mind. Like, I don't want to make the first move because I don't want to feel rejected. And then she's like, well, I don't want to make the first move. I'm the girl. I don't want to get rejected. Now you're sitting there and no one's doing anything. It's like you're both sitting on opposite seesaws and you're both just on the ground waiting for the other one to hop on in the same playground.
I mean, you're in a new relationship, so this is so super fresh for you. How did that dynamic go down? Who made the first move there?
She did.
It worked.
I sat on my seesaw. But I was also super nervous because I was really into her. And I was so into her that I had like second guessing all of my decisions anyway. I also told Greg and Pat both very recently, like, and I think I even talked about it on the show, that I don't think I want to date it right now. I think I just want to like be. And then I started talking to this girl that I was crushing on. And then she started to go a little more hard in the paint. And then I was just sitting there going like, I was trying to get Greg and them to tell me that I'm crazy for thinking she's into me. Like, prove me right. Like, she's not into me, right? And then these two and my friend Taylor were all like, stop being dumb. This chick likes you. Fucking give her your phone number. Stop talking on Instagram like you're in high school.
Is that how it happened? Through Instagram?
Yeah, we were talking through Instagram and then it snowballed from there. And then I've never been more nervous to give my number to anybody. And I was always someone who took a step with people. I always like took a step. I was like, I'll ask them out, whatever. I don't care. But for some reason I was like, this one made me really nervous. And then now we're talking and now we're Now we're dating. We're in the throes of it. We're unclean, as it were.
But what a beautiful story for Taylor to hear. It started with her making that first move. And mm-hmm. if she didn't, who knows? Because you were second guessing yourself this whole time. So you probably wouldn't have made that first move. And then you wouldn't be fucking like rabbits today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, UA, not Greg. Thank you for your support.
Okay. But if you really want to get serious about this, Kane, the person who made the very first move was me.
That's not fucking, that's not cool, man.
You can still follow me on Venmo.
Oh, yeah. You
can still follow me on Venmo. I'm still over there. I'm kind of tearing it up. My link in bio will take you right to Venmo.
Greg, what is this one transaction to someone for pegging? Just, like some of that stuff, you just got to keep private.
I always forget who can see that. If someone had explained that to me and Matt Gaetz, we'd both be in better shape.
Oh shit. Yeah, follow Greg on Venmo at Greg-Barrett.
Yeah, add me a friend, send me $10. I don't care.
Send him $10. Send him 15. Send him 20. Whatever.
If you need $5, I got it.
He's got $5.
Venmo request him. Why are you? Yeah, don't pay Greg. Venmo request him.
You can also have Greg pay you if that's the case. $20, $5, $10, $11. Let's do it in $1 increments. Let's work our way up.
You can let me hold your money for a couple of months and then ask for it back like one woman did.
Yeah. Can I have
$10? She gave me $10 and then she really needed the $10 back. I gave it to her.
I love that. That's so funny.
Greg, all you should do a segment of who Venmos Greg the most in the week. Because nobody knows. It's like an auction. And then whoever Venmos you the most, they get a shout out.
Ooh, yeah, that's a great idea. Steve Agee.
Steve. All right. Hi, Greg. Longtime listener, first time messenger. Question. Why do most of the dating suggestions for people 50 and over show a pic of an 80-year-old person? Is this a cutoff year? I turned 50 last year, and I was suddenly thrust into elderliness. One day, you still got it. The next day, you're the creepy old lady at the bar winking at the way too young men, according to a younger group. Not that I'm winking at anyone, but you get the point, I'm sure. How are you perceived after 50? I was unprepared. Much love. Well, I haven't dated after 50, so I have no idea. Like, I can't imagine. That sucks, though, to get the picture of it. Oh, is it bad, Pat?
Yes, it's terrible.
Is it terrible?
Terrible.
Love do you get suggestions for older women a lot?
I do. I mean, I don't know. It's not, you're basically invisible after 50. So.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Something to look forward to.
50 is a strange age, isn't it? I'm 40, and I feel like when I turn 50, I will still feel like I'm in my 40s. But there's a big jump between 40 and 50. All of a sudden, 50, you're considered in the older group when your mentality probably hasn't changed that much. So I can see where Laurel's having an identity crisis here. Because, yes, the dating sites probably want to market to someone who's like, look, there's still a chance when you're older. But to her, she's like, no, I still look like I'm fucking 30. Don't market to me like I'm 80.
Yeah, exactly. I can only imagine the guy she's getting.
Yeah, just like the Monopoly guy.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
I feel like we had a workshop and we had a woman that was in her 60s complaining about the same kind of thing, trying to figure out what she should do. And we suggested that it now, especially with like dating apps suck for people at any age. I was on the dating apps for a little bit. It either sucks or you meet people. I don't know. Have you done the apps UA at all?
Oh yeah. For years.
This is how I felt about it for the short time that I was in it. It felt like whenever I matched, I couldn't get excited about that person. And almost like it was an intangibility. Even though I met them in real life, I still, like, at the date, I didn't feel any nerves. I didn't feel any butterflies. I just was like, because I have such a detachment from the internet that meeting someone on the internet doesn't feel real to me. So I can't then get it up for the date. So then with that mentality, I was like, I can't do this shit. Did you ever feel like that?
Well, also because you think the whole world is pining after you. That's what the dating apps make you feel. Like you walk into a bar and everybody wants you. Because if you look at the photos, you swipe through the photos and every photo is someone making eye contact with you, whether that's real or not, right? Yeah. So it's hard to get excited because you're not zeroing in on people. You just keep thinking there are so many options out there. And that's the problem with the dating apps. That's what makes them sticky, is that you want to be on to look at all your options. But once an option does match with you, it leaves you wondering, what else can I do better? But I agree with that disconnect. What is interesting about the dating apps for older folks, I hate saying that, it's not really older folks, is all of a sudden when you get to 50 as a woman, it's probably men in their 80s who are looking for women in their 50s, right?
Yeah.
As a man in your 50s, you could have 20, 30-year-olds looking up to 50. So it's a different pool of people you're getting. I have a close friend who turned 50. She was on the dating apps. She's like, I'm getting guys whose profile photos are of like their nose because they don't know how to take selfies because they're so damn old. You know, she's like, these are people who are crippled or people who are on life support. And she's like, no, literally, these are 80, 90-year-old men who are messaging me.
Oh, no. Oh.
And it is extremely demoralizing because she is still a hot woman in her 50s. So I totally get this transition. And for the dating apps too, because you kind of feel like, for us, we can say, it looks like there's a lot of options. For her, she felt like this is showing me the least amount of options I can possibly have. She just kept thinking, is this what I have now? This is my choices?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's really depressing.
Right. It is depressing. And especially if you want to flirt with younger guys or if you want to open yourself up to that world, there are people that like older people. There are women that like older men. There are men that like older women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're out there. So you just got to kind of hang in there, I think.
I feel like we complain about the dating apps, but the dating apps are just a tool. You either use them to your advantage or you don't. And for her, I feel like the dating apps are toxic for her and they're not making her feel good about herself. So she should remove herself, get herself out of that environment and go out and meet people in real life. Because it sounds like she's hilarious. She's all charismatic. She can probably meet men just fine in real life.
Yeah, I bet you can. Now that we have an semblance of real life coming back, now do that.
And she should wink at everybody. Come on. What's wrong with winking?
Everybody likes to be winked at.
Go ahead. Wink at us. Send us a wink emoji on Instagram.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, winking is great.
If you can wink, don't wink if you can't wink. Just like the British accent guy. If you can't wink, don't be throwing winks out.
It's one eye, not both eyes. It's
both eyes weird. Don't blink at people. Reddit remix. Reddit remix. My fiance bought my engagement ring on Groupon, and I don't know how to feel about it. Hey guys, so my fiance and I have been together for about 2.5 years. Right around New Year's, he proposed. We both live paycheck to paycheck. Our parents are incredibly generous, planning on paying for the majority of the wedding. The problem is that he got my engagement ring on Groupon for $28.
Oh no. Oh my God.
When you read the price, it makes it so much worse.
Oh no.
It's lovely to look at 3 diamond-ish stones in a row. On ish. Okay. A silver-colored band, but it's 2 sizes too big and turns my finger green.
Oh, no.
Come on. Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
I've asked him to resize it or just buy a new one in the right size, since that would probably make more sense given the price of the whole ring. But who knows when that will happen. I had told him before he proposed, since we had talked about marriage, that I would never want him to spend a crazy amount of money on an engagement ring. Wow, he took that to heart. This was in the context of people paying $5,000 to $10,000 for one, which I think is ridiculous. But I guess I just thought the symbol of our everlasting love would be a little more significant. I feel like a jerk for being bummed out about it. Would love some feedback.
Oh, oh my God. I mean, I just kept thinking like, maybe it's not a diamond ring, but I didn't realize it would turn her finger green.
No, no.
And how does she find out that he bought it on Groupon? I wonder if he confessed.
Yeah, he told her. This ring is too big and it turns my finger green. Where'd you get Groupon?
Can you take it back to the jeweler? No, no refunds.
Absolutely no refunds. It's Groupon.
Man, it's got some diamond-ish stones.
Diamond-ish.
Three, sort of. That's insane. You could feel bad about that. I wouldn't mind it. I don't hold any credence in that kind of stuff, diamond rings or whatnot. I feel like it's all sort of arbitrary, but, you know, people put their feelings into things like this. The end of the idea of having like a big wedding is very important to some people. It's not something that I really care about, but some people do. And so if to have a nice engagement ring when you're living paycheck to paycheck might be like something that's aspirational. Mm-hmm. And so that's where in my head, I'm thinking like, just don't do it yet. Like, just don't get married yet. If you don't have the money to get a ring and he's got to go dumpster diving, then it's like, maybe you're not ready. Cause I feel like the entire idea of wedding, when you put a dollar amount on the wedding night and your marriage as a whole, and you can't reach that independent, if you can't do that yourself, if you guys together with your finances can't do that, then you're just not ready to get married. Doesn't mean you're not ready to spend your life together. Yeah. You're just not ready to get married. That's all that means. And so I think it's okay to be bummed out about it, but I think this should be your like wake up moment to be like, oh, we don't have anything to be able to pull this off.
Yeah. It sounds like a classic case of miscommunication.
But $28 really says, I don't care either.
Yeah.
You don't care? I don't care.
I don't care.
Like, if I thought a $5,000 wedding ring would be too much, I'd do something in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I'd find a gold band or something significant, something that had some sort of meaning, as opposed to like, well, this looks like a wedding ring.
That's the thing. I want to know what she communicated to him exactly. Because I've been guilty of this. I don't care about Valentine's Day. We don't need to go out for dinner. I don't need roses. Comes Valentine's Day, nothing happens. I'm like, why didn't he do anything for Valentine's Day? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women have what we call like cool girl syndrome. We just want to be cool about it. Like, no big deal. I don't need a fancy diamond ring. I don't need a fancy wedding. But internally, we're kind of saying, I still want something that's meaningful. I do want a diamond, or I do want something to symbolize long-lasting love. Some men can take all of that very literally. And maybe he just heard, I don't really care about the ring. Just get me a ring. Okay, mm-hmm. Then I'll get you a ring. He didn't go to Walmart. At least he researched and he went on Groupon. Yeah. Very financially responsible. I will also say it could be a lot worse. I had a friend who got married to someone who he spent 10 grand on her engagement ring. It's a beautiful ring. After they got married, she inherited all his debt. The man was $50,000 in debt. So not only she paying off her engagement ring, she was also paying off his student loans. She was also helping pay off all the dates he had taken all the other women out on because he lived this very lavish lifestyle. Oh. So it could be a lot worse, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. At least it just turned your finger green.
Yeah, like that's some bad silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not silver. That's
it's not silver, right. Yeah.
But does he know though? Do men know that bad quality rings can turn your fingers green? I don't. Okay.
Well, I used to wear rings.
You know when it's cheap, it does turn your finger green. Maybe I'm always giving people benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just had no idea, thought it was a really good deal, looked pretty, sparkly, good enough.
Every boy has had some kind of toy ring that he put on that made his finger green.
Yes.
Okay.
Some kind of superhero ring. Yeah. Some kind of something. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I don't think you're ready. That's what I feel. You're not ready for it. Throw that ring back at him. Get me three diamonds. Give me one diamond. Don't give me ish diamonds. UA, where can everybody find your stuff?
They can go to datablepodcast.com. That's where everything is. And they can also find us on Instagram at datablepodcast.
Awesome. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. Follow us at DTBFF Podcast on Instagram. You can also email in the show at DTBFFpodcast@gmail.com. And you can call in the show. What's that number, Pat?
That number is 323-379-5544.
And don't take bullshit from fuckers.
Fuck 'em.
Hey there. If you like the show, you can find bonus episodes and more at our Patreon at patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. And then rate the show 5 stars on iTunes because it's the right thing to do. All music by The Rating Monarchs, produced by Patrick Elliott.